If you're interested in adding some more quality Windows-based games to your games arsenal, then you'll be interested in this interview with David Greenwood of GMA Games, which will be followed by a review of one of the games that we mention in this interview, Lone Wolf. David, welcome to the show. Firstly, tell me a little bit about GMA Games and where it's come from.
Okay, well, the actual company GMA has been around for 10 years, but it hasn't been into games until, I guess, July. I started programming games for the visually impaired, 2 years ago. And I was distributing them through PCS. And my partners and myself decided that we'd go out on our own. And we made the move, about a month ago.
So this is quite a recent innovation. Why games for the visually impaired, by the way? What got you into that arena in the first place?
Okay, being visually impaired myself and being interested in games, it was a natural combination there. My undergraduate degree was in computer programming and mathematics, but I haven't been programming for many years. I moved out of that area, but I kind of dabbled in it now and then. And once my site started going a few years back, none of the games that I like to play were available anymore. There was games out there for the visually impaired, but they weren't my games. They weren't ones that I was as interested in playing. I was interested in action games, simulation games, strategy games. And so I decided that I'd write them myself.
How many of you are there that make up GMA Games?
For the last couple of years, it's just been me. About 2 months ago, I've been working on these two programmers, finally got them to come around, and they're starting to code a game that hopefully we might see next year sometime. So there's three of us.
So you have a product out there already, and that's Lone Wolf. Did you write that on your own?
Yes, I did. Yes, actually, it was originally written in DOS. It was okay in DOS. I couldn't do a lot of things I wanted to do because of the limitations. But when I changed it over to Windows, the whole game just opened up for me. I could do a lot of things that I could only dream of doing in DOS.
That's a really remarkable achievement, because Lone Wolf is, I imagine, not an easy piece of programming, because it's a large game. There seems to be so much room for expansion and even designing your own missions and things with it. For those who haven't seen it, either in DOS or Windows, tell us a little bit about how it works, and also for those who are familiar with the DOS game, what's better about it under Windows?
Okay, a simulation game, a strategy game. Control a sub, every aspect of it. Pretty well. Any strategic part of it anyways, you'd control its speed, its direction, its firing of torpedoes, the torpedo doors, periscope, rudders, elevators, the whole works. Now, that means there's a lot of keystrokes to learn. I think most of them are pretty obvious. Then you've got keystrokes that you need to learn to find information about what's around you, your depth, your sonar, your radar, your periscope, your conning tower. Then you're given a mission, and your mission is usually a stated objective. You've got to stop these destroyers before they, sink your troop carriers or whatever. And so you get the coordinates from comm sub pack or whatever, and then you set your course. You set your strategy, because there may be one way of doing it, 10 ways of doing it. And that's all up to you. And then you follow through. Once you meet your objective, you've won. Now, what's different in Windows is the multi-layered, multi-dimensional sound. You've got sounds layered on top of each other. So you'll hear the torpedo loading, you'll hear the periscope rising, the background song, the waves, the water movement, everything all at the same time, and from different directions. It totally immerses you in the game. As one person wrote back to me, they felt they could even smell the engine oil, which I thought was pretty good.
It's like a driving thing, isn't it? I mean, when you accelerate, you can actually hear the engines revving up and things. It's incredibly realistic.
Yeah, when I was designing the game, I was trying to figure out I've been on a submarine once, and that was Navy days in southern England. That intrigued me, but I've never been in one moving. So I tried to imagine how it would be. You know, I've seen lots of movies and tried to cover off all the aspects of what I would feel if I was the captain of the submarine.
What about internet-aware game playing? Is that something that you're looking into? I guess in this instance, you're playing against the computer, but are there other games that you're looking at where people will be able to play against each other over the internet?
Yes, there is, but I really prefer not to talk too much about it right now. Would be working with Shades of Doom and extending that current game quite a bit so that multiple players could play the game. I don't like talking about things too much in the future because sometimes I change plans. Sometimes the dates are hard to meet. So I'd rather just mention games that are coming up very shortly, within the month or two, or are out immediately.
I quite understand. The webpage, thegmagames.com, points to two other games. Tell us a bit about those. Shall we start with the Star Trek one first?
Okay, the Trek 2000 is a move-based game. It's much simpler than Lone Wolf. You've got two ways of entering your commands. You can either use a menu, so you can go through the menu, and that's pretty straightforward. You select your navigation, whether you want to fire photons or phasers, your course setting. There's quite a few selections. Or if you prefer, some people really dislike menus. There's a command mode where you can just enter text command. And for some people, that's a lot quicker. Now, even in the menu, I can move very quickly because it's all unique one-letter commands. So let's say if I wanted to navigate to the closest star base, I would just enter N and C, and away it goes. The command's entered, and it's on its way.
And that game is yet to be released, is that correct?
That's right. Again, that was released in DOS. It was called Trek 99. It's in Windows. The gameplay is more or less the same in Windows. Lone Wolf had quite a few improvements. Star Trek, the actual gameplay is the same. The improvements are in sound. The sound is layered, so you'll hear several sounds at once. I feel the actual feel of the game is a lot better. Some of the sounds have been improved, and that's pretty well it for Trek 2000.
Do you have a target date in mind for its release?
Yes, I'd like it next month. I was hoping for the beginning of the month, but my my success with Lone Wolf has been overwhelming, and just answering emails and taking orders has put me back a little bit.
Well, still, that must be really encouraging, though, that you're getting that kind of response.
Oh, really is. I was quite surprised with Lone Wolf. I thought there'd be, some people who really, who like to get into the nuts and bolts of a game would be interested, but it's really surprising the number of people who are interested. And why they're interested.
Why are they interested then? What are some of the reasons that you've received that have surprised you?
Okay, I guess I was thinking of it from the DOS version, which was totally mechanical and strategic. In the Windows version, it's almost like a virtual reality. So you can immerse yourself into the game. The sounds are coming from all directions. An improvement over the DOS game is that you can use your sonar, your periscope, your radar, and you actually hear the sound in, almost encircling your head. So it would start from the left, your left ear, go in front of you. You'd hear a click directly ahead of you. It would keep circling you. You'd hear a click in your right ear, then behind you, and then a stop again in your left ear. And what you would hear overlaid with these sounds is pitched noises. For example, if there were three minefields ahead of you, you would hear, you know, you'd hear it clicking around, and then you'd hear a high frequency noise. It would go for a little while, maybe from 10:30 to 11:30. Then it would stop, maybe starting again at 12:30 to 2 o'clock, and then stop. Then from 2:30 to 3 o'clock, it would give you a picture in your mind of where those minefields are. And I think that was one of the improvements that made the game more accessible.
The newer sound cards have a 3D function. Does Lone Wolf take advantage of it?
No, it's certainly a consideration. Now, there's very few people who have that capability. It has a multi, some people call it 3D. You can tell whether the noise, the sound is coming from behind you or in front of you, left or right. As far as I'm concerned, that's two-dimensional sound. It's an added dimension in that you can tell how far away it is. It's adjusted by volume as well. But I would really like to get into true 3D, and a game that the three of us are working on, that we hope will be released next year, will be totally 3D.
Now, there was a third game that's already being advertised on your website right now. Can you tell us about that?
Sure, that's Shades of Doom. Now, that's a really interesting game. I don't mean just interesting from the gameplay point of view, but where it got its start. There's a game mail list called Odyssey, and I proposed on the list that people could help me design a game. I would design it totally based on their input. So this went on quite a while, 2 or 3 months. People had ideas. I gave the initial premise. It would be similar to the graphic Doom. The game called Doom that's out on the market for the sighted community. And so, I guess over 2 or 3 months, people provided input, and it was great. I got lots of information. When I first got the design, it looked pretty, it looked like it was going to be pretty tough to implement. But I worked on it. It was a lot of fun. And I released a prototype and let the community take a look at it. After they took a look at it, they gave a bunch more recommendations. I took that and implemented most of them. And surprisingly enough, most people agreed on what they wanted. There wasn't a lot of differences in opinion. Most people worked around to what they thought was a good design. And that alpha came out in, the next alpha came out in June, and I got feedback from that, and I'm going to be releasing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week, the last alpha. And that will be available to the Odyssey list, and an abridged version will be available. This will be the first level of the maze, or of the world will be available to anyone. So you could download it, I won't say Monday, let's say next Wednesday.
Excellent. That sounds brilliant. What kind of prices are you charging for these games? For example, Lone Wolf is available for purchase now.
Yes, it's, I think it's fairly priced. It's $30 US. And it's, it certainly doesn't reflect the amount of work in it, but it's, I think I would rather sell a lot of them at a lower price than a few at a higher price. So I thought that was probably a good price setting.
Yeah, I was quite impressed really that despite its complexity, it's not that large a download to download the demo. And then presumably you can register. Can you register online and get the demo unlocked?
It certainly can. It can all be done, over the phone, and I'll email a product key, and away you go.
What are the limitations of the demo?
You get the first two missions. There's 17 missions. Some people are quite happy just with the first two missions, and I know they play them for quite a few months, and some people are still playing the DOS missions, and they're happy just with that.
With the games that you manufacture, are they self-voicing, or would you need a screen reader to be running in the background to make them work?
Okay, they're all different. The three I've that are coming up, Lone Wolf is, you'll need a screen reader. Shades of Doom is all self-voicing. Star Trek, the Trek 2000 will be, again, like Lone Wolf, you'll need your screen reader, and the background sounds will be, on top of the text, your screen reader.
What does that mean for users of software speech? Do you have to have a multi-channel sound card if all you have access to is software speech if you're going to use Lone Wolf?
Yes, for Lone Wolf, that's true. Same with Trek 2000. If you've only got a single channel sound card, you'll have problems. Now, Shades of Doom, there won't be any problem there. Again, you can just turn off your screen reader before you enter the game, and away you go.
Now, I quite understand any reluctance you may have to answer this question, but as an intrepid journalist, I would be remiss in my duty not to ask it. Can you tell us about any future plans that you might be cooking up at this stage?
As I mentioned, I'm interested in simulators and strategy game. The next big game will be another simulation. I don't want to go into too many details, but it will be a simulation, and it will be a 3D simulation. That hopefully we'll get that done next year. It's going to be the biggest game that we've put together, certainly the most ambitious. The Shades of Doom is just starting up. What is taking a lot of time with Shades of Doom is the creation of the game engine. The game engine is designed in such a way that I could turn around after Shades of Doom is released, and well, hopefully we'll have it out in November. I could, without touching a line of code, design a whole new game. Walking through a haunted house. And that could all be done with the game builder built into the game. Other things I've thought about is a D&D type of game, your Dungeons and Dragons, where you're walking through passageways, and you've got your sword and a bow and arrow, and you can hunt down, monsters, whatever, and find treasure, whatever. It's pretty open. The game is pretty flexible.
So does that mean that we're likely to see a real proliferation of games based on the Shades of Doom engine once it becomes available with clever gamers writing their own implementations?
I really hope so. I'm going to also encourage people, users of the game, to write their own game. And that should make the engine a lot more hopefully that will make people more interested in picking up the engine or the Shades of Doom game.
What's been fascinating for me to watch over the last year or so is that this time last year, say, there weren't too many really good multimedia games available for blind people under Windows, and now there are quite a few, and companies popping up that are announcing their intention to make more. Are you worried about the market being saturated, or do you consider that there's plenty of room for growth left?
Oh, I think there's plenty of room for growth. Matter of fact, I think with a very limited number of developers, it's a real problem in that people in the visually impaired community, if there's one or two companies, they're not made aware of the games that are out there. There's not much exposure. The more people who are developing, the more interest there will be in games. The better the games, the more interest there will be. I think it can only help.
It occurred to me as I was working with somebody new to computers recently that finding a game that a blind computer trainee is interested in is a fantastic way to get people's confidence with the PC and to get them comfortable with it.
Oh, I agree totally. You know, my kids started off on games, computer games, very, very young. There was one game, I can't even remember the name of it now, but you had to type in things very quickly. So my son went at a very young age to a very high speed of typing just so that he wouldn't lose. I think that was great, and it makes them less afraid of the computer. It's more approachable.
Well, if people would like to download the demo and keep tabs on other things that are coming out shortly from GMA Games, how do people visit your website?
Okay, that's www.gmagames.com.
Couldn't be simpler. And the demo is pretty easily downloaded there. Now, there's a purchase form, is there, to actually buy the product online?
Yeah, it's right at the moment. We've just got the web page set up a few weeks back, but at the moment you can pay by money order or check or just send a fax or phone us or email us a Visa number. We're looking at something like PayPal in the very near future as well. That's not in place yet, though.
Right. Well, I wish you all the best, and as other products come out, no doubt we'll talk to you again and find out what's happening. So, very best of luck.
Well, thank you very much.